peace in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen.
And the scripture reading today, can you please stand for the reading of the gospel? It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It can be found on page 955 in your Worship Center Bible. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what this unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for the opportunity one more time, one more day, together with your people, together with people who are seeking to do what is good and right in your name. Bless those who are here, those that have been here earlier, and those of whom you will send to us. Pour out your spirit on this flesh so that we may receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This new sermon series, there is power in a story. My sermon summary says it this way. In this passage, Jesus gives his disciples reasons to keep on praying. Reasons to keep on praying. Some of you probably are thinking, we can accept the fact that God is merciful. You know, we like that merciful God, especially if we're the ones receiving the mercy. God, we like that merciful God. God, and that God even forgives people. We like the God that forgives. The God that forgives people who rebelliously sin against God, and come back. But what we don't like, what we don't think is that they should be restored. You know, we like the merciful God, we like the forgiving God, we like when God even forgives people. But we would, well, maybe not you all, but sometimes we would prefer that if God would just take a lightning bolt and just give him a little zap, not a big one, but just a little zap. But God is a God of restoration. And God, we don't like the fact that people are to be restored to the position they had prior to leaving without proving themselves. That's where we and God are different as human beings. And that's why I am so glad. So glad that you are not my God. I am so glad also that, and you bet you should be glad, that I'm not yours. Well, in today's lesson, we hear yet another parable. And parables are really very interesting. One of my fondest memories of when I was about the age of the children that from our community and our church that we have invited to the Eagle Lake mobile camp between the ages of about 7 and 12 years old. One of my fondest memories of a summer was that last day of school, amen. Summer vacation. Well, in the elementary school where I grew up in the inner city of South St. Louis, there were two principals, Principal Scott and Principal Price. And they had a tradition and a custom that every summer at the end of the school year, they would give every student They were principals at two different times, but they would give every student one of these. Good old-fashioned composition notebooks. And we had an assignment. Not that we were really caring about what the assignment was, but we had an assignment. And the assignment was very simple. I want you to think of one thing or pay attention to something, to one thing during the summer on your summer vacation. And so our assignment was, what did I do on my summer vacation? How many of you remember that the summer vacation, you know, essay? Well, for overachievers and AAA personalities like myself, I was studious in my journal. My three younger brothers, not so much. As a matter of fact, when it came time to start back to school, and we knew that the expectation was going to be that you have this journal. Now, you didn't have to complete the entire journal, but they only asked that you come up with one story. Amen. One story to share with the class, to share with the school. And here's the good news of the gospel. For those who didn't, usually who weren't able to find their journal, my three younger brothers, the principal gave us grace. All you had to do was find a piece of paper, usually the day before school, my three younger brothers, and write something or draw a picture, depending what was age appropriate. Well, the lesson today is a story. It's a parable. And one of the things that we find about stories and about parables is that sometimes we believe or we think we know the entire story. Jesus was a master storyteller. And sometimes when we hear, let me read it for you. When we hear a parable like the one today that begins with this particular verse from the New Revised Standard Translation. It says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Then, you know, Jerry went on and kept reading the parable. But there was something a little missing in the parable as she read it. Not one person in the parable said a prayer. Did you notice that? And so, like Jesus, following him, instead of us who sometimes we think we know the answers and we sometimes overstate and restate the obvious when it comes to the parables of Jesus. We restate and overstate the obvious. And the obvious is that this parable would be about prayer. However, there are two other metaphors within the content of this particular story, this particular parable. We know that we have an unjust judge. Now, the thing that's kind of freaky crazy about this unjust judge is that right out in the parable, now remember, Jesus is telling this story. He says that this judge has no respect for God or for people. Now, if you look at the climate in the United States of America right now, in the political and social climate right now, I think we could find a few people that have no respect for God and no respect for people. I don't care what political party that you belong to, but it doesn't take a long time to look and see that there are people who have no respect for the things of God and the no respect for other people. They feel that they should not be held responsible or accountable for their words and for their deeds. And so we hear in this parable, that's the first metaphor outside of this whole idea about prayer. And then the second is this widow. Now, on the surface, we think, oh, yeah, she's a widow. Her husband died, and we're boo-hoo. We're really kind of sad about that. But you don't understand. To be a widow in that culture means that you absolutely had nothing. You had nothing if you did not have an heir, either your husband's brother or a cousin or maybe another man from the community would become your advocate. This woman, according to the law and the culture, had absolutely no face and no place. No money, no way to earn money, no way to even have someone to advocate for her to earn money. No social services. The only social services would be if she could find another male to advocate for her. No place to live, no possibilities. But yet, this bold woman who had no face and no place, chose to advocate for herself. My brothers and sisters, this was radical stuff. And by the way, did you all notice in the video, the clip done by our young people, the judge was a girl? I'm just saying. But we laugh about that. But the other thing that we need to remember, that those who are in power now, women can be unjust too. You see, those who have no respect for God or have no respect for people can come in either gender. And so she takes on this judge. She is persistent. She is persistent, and she is so persistent that she knows that what she's trying to do is the right thing. It doesn't tell us what it means that she is not receiving justice, but she believes that if she keeps on going to this judge, that she will eventually get what she needs. Are we as Christians, those who call ourselves people of faith, those people in that metaphor? Are we like the unjust judge? Do we claim that we are Christian believers, yet we are unwilling to set aside what we want and what we like? Ron Watts, who was one of the pastors who taught at one of the workshops at annual conference, he says one of the challenges of an established congregation is our unwillingness to set aside the way that we have already done things, to set aside those things that we like and the things that we've always done in order to do what God wants us to do. So what is it that we need to set aside to get children between the ages of 7 and 12? Now, I had more people say, well, I don't know no children between the ages of 7. Well, my baby is 39 years old, y'all. Seriously, I don't have, but what are we willing to do if that's what we believe that we need in this congregation, or more young adults, more children, more youth? What are you willing to do in the name of Jesus Christ to set aside in order to make that happen? This whole notion of what we must do and what we need to do to be people who are God-honoring and God-speakers and willing to connect others with Christ is what this particular parable is about. And so instead of focusing on the first verse, let's focus on the last verse when it says, I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, Will he find faith on earth? That's the big question of this particular parable. When the Son of Man comes, that's Jesus, by the way. When Christ comes, will he find a faithful people? Will he find people who are willing to pray until something happens? Will he find people, however, who are persistent until something happens? Will he find people who will prod and poke, and people who will over and over and over again, like we have tried to do and have done, to make sure that we make this campus ready for this new ministry? Will he find? Will Christ find a faithful people? Only you can answer that question. Well, in the seventh grade, Dr. Joseph Jones, who's one of my favorite teachers and mentors, he made a decision when I came into the seventh grade that having young people in the seventh grade write what I did for my summer vacation was kind of primary, you know? So he decided that in his particular class, he probably was not going to do that. That his lesson plan did not involve and entail that particular assignment. Well, there was a student in that class, and she might be standing before you, who decided to get together with some other students that were pretty gung-ho about this, okay? Because I was going into the eighth grade the next year, and this was going to be my last year for doing this. And so I got together with some other students who were pretty gung-ho about this. That didn't include those who didn't have a clue where their journal was. But and we began to talk to one another. And we began to talk to one another about what this activity had done for us. And then we began to talk to some parents and to the PTA and some other folks, not to bring that teacher down, but we wanted to find a positive way in order to encourage Dr. Jones to be able to allow us to somehow fit this into his lesson plan. Well, we went to him again and again and again, and we got some more folks and went to him again till he finally said, "All right, already." And we were able, at least for that year that I know in his class, we were able to be able to share that assignment, that journaling assignment. Well, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to recognize that in order to do the things that God wants us to do, that yes, it's important that we pray. Yes, it's important that we show up on time and in time. And yes, it's important that we do the things that we've always been doing the way that we've always been doing them. But the challenge in this parable is that we must be as persistent as the widow. Persistent in our prayers, praying until something happens. Persistent in our actions, advocating for those who have little or nothing. We must be persistent in our faith and our actions. Because while we like the Jesus or the God of justice and mercy, we must also like the God, our God, who's in the business of restoration. Well, the good news of that story, and it keeps on coming, Later, Dr. Joseph Jones became a principal himself. And guess what? Guess what he initiated in his school? Something that he wasn't too sure about because it wasn't in his lesson plan. But oh, my brothers and sisters, sometimes God's lesson plan. God's lesson plan can show us new ways to walk and talk. May it be so in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I invite those who are prepared to be committed.